Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Illinois Farm Economics Summit in DeKalb at Ferrandis, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report for the 15th day of December. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets, of course, with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Don Day should join us to take a quick look at the agricultural weather forecast. We'll also talk with Nick Polson, agricultural economist, about the price of farmland and the FMOC, the Federal Open Markets Committee, which is meeting today and tomorrow to set interest rates and how it impacts the value of farmland. That all coming up in this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Of course, I'm coming to you from Ferrandis today in DeKalb, Illinois, at the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, and recording actually just a bit early. So I'm not going to give you the numbers, but we'll get to Wayne Nelson here in just a bit. Just a reminder that if you'd like to come to one of our events, you're certainly welcome. We'll be on the road again tomorrow in Peoria at the Civic Center. We're up on the top of that building, so just get into the parking spaces there and then come straight to the top of the building. Up there, really long escalators. We open at 7:45 a.m. and we start at 8:15 a.m. in the morning. If you have not pre-registered, don't worry about it. $75. You can walk in, and this is a really good program. In fact, again, I know because I just talked with Nick Polson, and you'll have the opportunity to hear from him in just a moment about the value of farmland and how that FMOC decision to be made today or tomorrow will really make a difference. So if you'd like to come out to the Farm Economics Series, you can. Otherwise, I'll be posting a lot of it up on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can always find all of our ag programming, too. One other note that I'll be taking next week and the following week off. So the programming will be on WILL, but I've got a lot of it already pre-produced, so no update of the commodity markets during the closing market report for the week of Christmas and New Year's. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area for the rest of this afternoon today. Cloudy and 44 degrees. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers. That after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low of 42 this evening on a southeast wind at 9 to 13. That'll gust all the way to 17. And then tomorrow, 30% chance of showers, mainly between 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. Partly sunny otherwise, a high of 53 degrees, breezy, a south wind at 14 to 22. It will gust all the way to 29 tomorrow, so be careful on the roads if you have a great big vehicle. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy and a low of 30. West-southwest winds at 10 to 15, gusting to 20. And Thursday, sunny skies and 37 degrees. West winds at 10 to 14 miles an hour, gusting to 18. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy, a low of 27. Friday, partly sunny and 32. And Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 21 degrees. On Saturday, sunny skies, 35 degrees. Saturday night, clear and cool, a low of 26. Sunday, mostly sunny, will go to 44 degrees to start the next week. And Sunday night, a chance of showers, cloudy and 35. And on Monday for the work week start, a chance of showers, cloudy, and a high of 49. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather. He's from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Thank you. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, coming to you from Ferrandez in DeKalb, by the way, for the Illinois Farm Economics Summit. Wayne, it's been a really good morning here as we wrapped up our discussion of agriculture in the state of Illinois. And now it's time to take a look at what happened in Chicago at the CME Group. What were the fundamentals moving the marketplace for the day?
Well, Todd, you know, we started out and the grains were a little bit heavy this morning. We come out with the NOPA crush. It was a little bit less than anticipated and down from last year at this point in time. That was a little bit heavy on us. We do have a stronger dollar. That's been a little bit heavy, too. We're anticipating the Fed's increasing the interest rates here come tomorrow afternoon. The weather in South America, it depends on who you talk to, but it isn't disastrous yet. Some are saying good, most of them are saying it could be a lot better. We're seeing a lot of private forecasters that are decreasing their estimates of what their crop might be, a lot below what the Brazilian government said here just a couple days ago. But not the 102, but more looking at the 99 to 100 now. So, but all in all, we've seen a little bounce back here since in the last hour, and we're down about 3.25 to 4.25 in the beans right now.
Yeah, just as a reminder, our discussion is taking place over the noon hour today because I'm traveling to Peoria for the Farm Economics Summit there tomorrow morning. That'll be at the Peoria Civic Center, by the way, and if you'd like to come, certainly you can come. It's just $75 at the door if you want to walk in. We'll be at the Civic Center. Doors open at 7:45, and we start our meeting at 8:15. We'll get a preview, by the way, from Nick Paulson of the FMOC meeting in just a couple of minutes right here on the Closing Market Report. You mentioned Argentina. They have opened up their marketplace at this point. The new president said that that would be the case when he took office. Will this be a temporary push into the market, and does it really make any difference? Because fundamentally, at least, those bushels that we're talking about, while they have not come into the marketplace, have been on the balance sheets for a while already.
Yeah, the difference is now they're able to offer them cheaper than what the U.S. Gulf price is, and that makes them a little more scary out there as far as we're concerned. What a unique thing this politician has done. He's actually coming through and doing what his campaign promises were right in the first week of being in office. We are going to probably see a little more competitiveness out of Argentina before their bids, when you put their tariffs on top of them, were above ours, and we were able to keep a lot of our business.
We're getting to that time of year now as we get into the holiday season next week and the following week for Christmas and New Year's, that the market doesn't move a lot. And that things begin to be very stable, generally speaking. Will producers, when you talk to them, have an opportunity, do they believe, to market more corn and soybeans prior to the end of the year at a price they'd like to be able to sell at?
It's going to be hard-pressed to get up to the levels that a lot of the guys will want to. But, you know, a lot of times in a thinner market, we can see the market move a little bit higher on days when the flow is that way. You know, we see crude up on the anticipation of the export, where we couldn't export crude for the last 40 years, possibly being lifted here, and that gives a little bit. And we know crude's sort of been something that's been hanging over this market that way. If we get a little price up in the crude a little bit, could help some of our grain prices that way. You know, we did have a routine sale of beans to China this morning, a couple cargoes announced. The crush, even though it was backed off a little bit, it's continued to be good. And we're hoping that maybe that Senator Grassley can get that producer credit into, so it'd have to be U.S. bean oil that blends into the soy diesel. So there's a few things that could happen that could be positive to push us up a little bit and probably want to sell those.
This will be the last time you and I have a chance until the new year to talk, that is, because I'll be taking a couple of weeks of holiday and we won't get an opportunity to talk next week or the following week at all. In fact, all of that production, for those who are listening, will be pre-produced. The 9:50 a.m. in the morning, for those who listen to the home station, will not be there for the two-week period. And the closing market report I've been in the process of putting together for the last week or so. So those will all be put together and pre-produced for the holiday season. However, I'm wondering if there is anything when you look back over the calendar year for the season that really strikes you, Wayne, about this last year that was unique and different than any other that we've been in?
Well, I think the kind of yields we saw out west with all the moisture we had and really changed a lot of our opinions around later when we saw that we were able to really produce that kind of crop. We were all figured on a smaller crop most of the way through with the kind of weather conditions we'd had. So that was one of the things that sort of put us in a behind the eight ball a little later, and we probably didn't get enough sold early. But all in all, it's going to be another sort of challenging year with the world stocks, and I think the weather this next year is going to be so important to keep an eye on.
How important will crop insurance in the 2016 growing season be?
Well, I think it's going to be tremendously important, and I say that out of the fact is, okay, we're going to probably have a low starting price, but I think it's going to be very important if we can see what's the possibility. And now it's a smaller possibility, but, you know, we keep talking about the extremes in the El Nino and how if it flip-flops and we become a La Nina, and we have some dry times here around the world and in parts of the U.S., that we could see a crop setback as far as bushels and also, you know, a cutback coming in, that we might see a price rise that comes out of that. And, you know, we've got to, in case we don't have that, be pretty aggressive marketing near the $9 and $4 mark so we don't lose money. But if something like that would happen, I think having the crop insurance there to pick up the slack is going to be very, very important.
Wayne, thanks for taking the time with us. We do appreciate it. Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Just as a reminder, I'm traveling this week with the Illinois Farm Economics Summit Series. The Farm Doc Daily team will be in Peoria tomorrow and Springfield on Thursday, and we'll wrap up our time on the road this week across the state of Illinois in Mount Vernon on Friday. More from the Farm Doc Daily team in just a moment. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. Nick Paulson joins us now. I'm here from the Illinois Farm Economic Summit at Verandas in DeKalb, Illinois. His discussion points for the day evolved around cash rents and evaluating the worth of land values. What's kind of the bottom line for producers and bankers about farmland and cash rents for you?
Well, I think right now the concern or the issue on the cash rent side is we're looking at 2015 being a second year of much lower incomes than we had experienced the previous 6 or 7 years. Looking like the projections for 2016 will be another year of lower returns because of the lower price levels we have. So if you do the work out a, you know, crop budget with average production cost levels and cash rent levels, it's really not leaving anything for farmer returns, and actually and on average it's negative returns being projected for 2016. So, you know, based on those cash or crop budgets, it suggests that we need to see some cost cutting going on, which suggests that cash rent levels could and maybe should come down. And then when you factor that in with interest rate markets and, you know, the worry that we're going to see a period now of potentially rising interest rates, when you couple that together with potentially falling cash rent levels, there's a worry that land values might also be in starting a period of decline as well. So basically touched on those points, but then also tried to provide some counterpoints to that and some arguments and justifications for why we might still see some stability in both the cash rent and land value markets. And you know, it's not necessarily a sky is falling scenario.
The Federal Open Market Committee is meeting today and tomorrow. What will they consider that makes a difference to the land market?
Well, again, what the FOMC does, what their ability to affect monetary policy is through the target they set for the federal funds rate, which is a very short term interest rate or a rate at the short end of the yield curve. So they can set the level for that. They are expected to have some sort of increase, most likely a relatively small increase in that target short-term rate. How that translates into farmland values would be what impact that would have in terms of what investors feel is the longer-term discount rate that is appropriate to value an asset like farmland. And historically, the relationship between that shorter-term federal funds rate and longer-term rates is not completely clear. They obviously trend in the same direction, but there are many examples of periods where we see fairly big swings in the federal funds short-term rate, but not necessarily big adjustments in long-term rates. So it's not a perfect relationship, but again, I think the worry is that if we're setting a period here of rising short-term rates, that we'll also see some increase in those longer-term rates that would affect land values.
Your discussion to the folks that were watching the presentation this morning and will be all this week on the Illinois Farm Economics Summit yesterday in Champaign, again today here in DeKalb, tomorrow at the Peoria Civic Center. On Thursday we'll be in Springfield at the Crown Plaza, and then Friday at Mount Vernon, 7:15 a.m. by the way. If you haven't decided to come yet, you still can, and registration opens then for $75. Your discussion talked some about how farmland is valued, capitalization rates, and longer-term ways to determine what the value of farmland might be. You said that sometimes things are not entirely related, for instance, to the short-term interest rate, and they do unhook. The 1980s, I think, was one of those periods. Can you explain what all of that means?
So in the presentation, I did just a real basic, finance review. Kind of talks about what we mean when we talk about capitalized values, and basically that's just taking an asset that can generate income, like farmland, which can a lot of times think of the income that farmland can generate as being the rent that you could receive for renting that land out. And then using a discount rate to translate that income stream into a current value for the farmland. So that's what we mean when we talk about capitalized rates. And like you said, we have seen deviations from what the current interest rate situation and the current rental rates would imply for farm values, for those capitalized values. One of those big deviations was in the 1980s, and in that case, capitalized values were well below what some of the market values we're seeing was. So in that case, actual values were exceeding what market fundamentals would suggest they should be. And we did see the crash then during the crisis. Right now we're also in a period of deviation, but it's actually the opposite. In this case, the capitalized value, what land values could be, if we were looking at the very low interest rates we have as permanent and some of the high rent levels that we have right now, land values arguably could be higher than they are. So the current market value is below that capitalized rate. So I think that's one of the factors that suggests we'll probably have a relatively stable land market. We're not going to see big declines like we did in the 80s, even if cash rent levels come down and we do see some slight increases in interest rates.
What's the current average land value, and what interest rate is that based off, and what are actual interest rates? Because those things vary, and then maybe you can talk about what the current interest rate would tell you would be the value of land in the state.
Right. So average cash rent in Illinois, and again, it's always kind of a tough thing to throw out a specific number here because there is so much variation, but the average cash rent level in Illinois, according to USDA this year, was about right around $230 per acre. The discount rate that's most appropriate to use, we typically think of the 10-year treasury rate as a pretty good estimate of what the discount rate should be when you're valuing an asset like farmland. Right now, the discount rate, the 10-year treasury rate is around 2%. So if you took those two factors together, again, the average land value in Illinois would exceed $11,000. In reality, we actually have average land values around $7,600, $7,700 per acre, which actually implies that investors are really looking at a longer-term discount rate closer to 3%. So again, that long-term rate of 3 versus where we're currently at on the 10-year of 2 suggests that we do have some room here. Again, rents could come down, and I think interest rates could come up a bit, and we still wouldn't see too big of adjustments in land values.
Now, let's bring this back to the FMOC, the Federal Open Markets Committee, which is meeting today and tomorrow, going to set interest rates. You showed a couple of slides, one of them asked, do you think interest rates will rise? And it's important because these are people who make the decision about interest rates.
Yeah, so that information was actually taken from the September meeting of the FOMC committee. And what they've done is periodically now at these meetings, they've started asking the participants, the committee members, what they think kind of the short-term and medium-term and longer-term outlook is for monetary policy. So in that September meeting, of the 16 or 17 members that were present and answered the question, almost all of them, 13 of them, said that they felt that the tightening of monetary policy, some sort of interest rate increase, would begin still in 2015, which would happen this week. I think since then, in the last 2 months, we have even more evidence to support that expectation. We have seen unemployment come down and get into that 5% range, as well as job creation at levels at which they wanted them to be before they were going to consider raising interest rates. The other question that they asked them is not only when do they think interest rates will rise, but how quickly will interest rates rise and kind of what will that path look like? And again, different committee members had different opinions, but what they shared from that September meeting suggested we'd be on a fairly steady, slow path of rising interest rates over the next 3 to 4 years, going from the virtually zero level that we're at right now for that short-term rate back up into the low 3% range by 2018 and longer term.
So does that tell you that while the capitalized value of farmland could be much higher than it is, that it at about the 3% rate, which is what apparently farmers and other purchasers of land in the last year have thought it should be, we're correct?
Again, that's a possible outcome. I think that's the worry. But again, the relationship between that short-term rate that they can directly affect, that rate that I said they're kind of looking at increasing steadily over the next 3 years, it's not always perfectly clear that translates directly into increases in the longer-term rates that matter more for valuing assets like farmland.
Thank you so much, Nick.
Thank you.
Nick Paulson is with the University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences and joins us here at the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Back in a couple of minutes with the agricultural weather forecast. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
It is National Lemon Cupcake Day. The exact origin of the lemon remains a mystery. Although it is presumed lemons first grew in China, northern Burma, and India. Lemons were introduced to the Americas by Christopher Columbus in 1493. On this day in agricultural history in 1686, Isaac Walton died. He is mainly known for The Contemplative Man's Recreation, which is one of the most frequently published books in English literature. It is a literary discourse on the pleasures of fishing. In 1791, the new United States of America ratified the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, confirming the fundamental rights of its citizens. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion, speech, and the press, and the right to peaceful assembly and petition. In 1939, nylon yarn was sold to hosiery mills to make women's stockings, marking the first use of commercial yarn for apparel. The DuPont product enabled a record number of ladies' hose to go on sale for the very first time in May of 1940. And in 1995, the leaders of the European Union were gathered in Madrid to discuss the shape of a single European currency. They decided to name it the euro. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's check the weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Let's start today with the weather in the Midwest. What can we expect?
Well, it's going to be getting a lot colder. We have enjoyed a pretty mild stretch of weather here over the last several days, but a storm coming out of the Rockies is going to drag much colder air for folks up in Fargo, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Grand Forks. They're looking at a pretty good snow event moving in tomorrow, and that's coming out of the Colorado and Wyoming and Nebraska area. And we're going to see probably not a lot of precipitation, but temperatures by Friday and Saturday across the Great Lakes and Corn Belt will be a lot colder. However, the cold tide will be brief. It'll be in and out in a couple of days, and the temperatures will rebound again.
All right, now turn your attention to the rest of the planet. Let's start in the southern hemisphere and work our way across the growing regions. We'll begin in Brazil and Argentina.
Well, those areas still looking at a pretty decent weather pattern. There's going to be some good rain chances in the key growing areas of Brazil. Argentina a little bit drier, but there's no really big dry area developing down there right now, and temperatures continue to be favorable for growing conditions down there. They're looking at the start of the growing season with nothing too out of kilter at the moment.
And then to South Africa.
Well, as we go over to Africa, we do see that South Africa in particular going to still be dry. They've had hit a little bit of a dry skid, and that trend is going to continue in the week ahead. There is a chance for a little bit of rain early to mid next week in portions of South Africa, but it looks like below normal for most of the nation there for the next week.
And on around the planet, we'll finish up in Australia.
Well, Australia and that part of the world has not yet started to see some of the typical El Nino patterns that we've seen yet in terms of getting warmer and drier. There's some pretty good chances of rain across most of that continent as we go into especially the central, northern, and eastern areas of the country, at least here over the next week to 10 days. I do see them starting to trend drier maybe as we get into the new year, but at least in the short term, favorable growing conditions down under.
And then move northward from there into China and tell me about the country that imports the bulk of the soybeans on the planet and grows the second largest corn crop on the planet. Has their winter been impacted at all by El Nino?
Not a lot. That's one part of the globe that the impacts of El Nino really not nearly as strong. The connections to their weather patterns in the winter not as tied in as we are in this part of the globe. Now, China's had sort of an up-and-down start to winter with alternating warmer and colder periods. It does look like the most action will be across the southern and eastern portions of the nation in terms of best chances for rain and some snow. Temperature-wise, China's going to be trending a little bit colder. That's something that we're going to see spreading across other portions of the northern hemisphere as well.
Hey, Don, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather. He's out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Ferranda's Banquet Center in DeKalb. I'm Todd Gleason. Hope to see some of you tomorrow in Peoria.